Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, I got a phone call yesterday from a dear friend inviting me to a wedding because restrictions have changed. And it's one of those things now that you're, wow, I'm so honoured. I'm one of the 25 because, of course, restrictions are changing. But what exactly are they and what are the dates that they're going to change? And does that mean that more people are going to say, yes, I'm going to go ahead and book my wedding? On the line to tell us about the latest wedding announcements for the coming weeks, we have Jonathan Bryans from weddingsonline.ie. Jonathan, let's start with that. What are the latest kind of changes to restrictions, and what's the kind of roadmap ahead for the summer then?
Yeah, good question, Wendy, and thanks for having me on. I suppose it has been a bit confusing over the last while, but no, at the moment there's a maximum of 6 guests that can go to the service and the reception indoor or outdoors. So up to the 6th of June, and I should say from the 10th of May until the 6th of June, you can have a maximum of 50 guests at the service, but only a maximum of 6 guests at an indoor reception, or else 15 outdoors. Now, the key date to remember here is the 7th of June, is that the maximum number of guests at the reception increases to 25. But I suppose more importantly than that, we have had positive noises from the government that they're going to be looking at increasing wedding numbers for July and August. But that information hasn't come out yet. We're hopeful of more than 50, but I think realistically it could be 50 in July and August time.
And is it fair to say, Jonathan, that hotels are being flexible? This call that I got yesterday, the friend who called me said, I literally just put the deposit down in the hotel today and the wedding is happening in, 5 weeks' time. Do you think, are people kind of that have been dying to get married for ages, are they just going, okay, let's go for it, and doing kind of at the last minute?
Well, there has been a lot of instances of that. I mean, in general, more people are postponing, and a lot of weddings have been pushed out to 2022, where there should be no restrictions. But also, you have to remember, Wendy, that life doesn't stop for people, and we've had 15 months of pain, I suppose, and restrictions. But some people just want to get married, and a lot of people are just saying that they're going to go ahead, whatever the numbers are. So yes, there is a short-term lead-in time, and the hotels and the venues have been great in terms of their flexibility. I think just everybody just wants to get back to normal at this stage.
Yeah, and in terms of that kind of practicality piece, Jonathan, should couples, or what would you be saying to couples, should they still have a plan A but also a plan B, depending on that there could be changes again?
Well, it's a good question. If couples are happy with 25 guests at their wedding, and the wedding's going to be before the 7th of June, go ahead with it. What I would do over the summertime is maybe have a guest list of about 80 that you could chop into 50 guests if required. I think a lot will change. Like by the end of June, we should have 80% of the population vaccinated. So, we should be in a position to be back having normal weddings very soon.
Yeah, and that's something hopeful to hang on to. And with the numbers and things like that, Jonathan, would you say most people are kind of accepting that, and very sympathetic towards a couple, and there's because we've been in it for so long, people aren't getting offended. I was surprised to get this call yesterday saying, wow, okay, great, that's lovely. But equally, if I hadn't got the call, I wouldn't be offended. Is there kind of a flexibility now from invitees?
I think so. I mean, in general, what we're hearing is that the next invitation that anybody's going to get, they're going to go, because I think we've been so starved of social contact over the last while. But yes, I mean, this has worked in people's favour, where they wanted a small wedding previously and now they have an excuse to do it. So, but I mean, people just have to be understanding of the current rules and situations. And you have to remember as well, with the lack of international travel at the moment, people's guest lists will be down a little bit on what they would have been previously, if you know what I mean. So with 50 guests or 25 guests, you could have an amazing party.
Yeah, and the kind of intimacy of it as well is just,
absolutely,
something. Absolutely. We've chatted to a few people, Jonathan, who've gotten married with smaller numbers over the last while, depending on the month we were in, and all of them said the intimacy was a lovely piece. What else, let's say a couple that's saying, I'm planning my wedding at the moment, what are some of the things that I should think about?
Well, obviously, the number of guests that we've touched on that. I mean, the question is, do you have a wedding venue at the moment? it is tricky to book wedding venues at the moment, just in terms of the fact that, you know, that we pretty much have a year of pent-up demand and people changing dates and things like that. So I think we are going to be, when things open up fully, we're going to be looking at, more midweek weddings than usual, maybe even Sunday weddings happening. But you do want to book your key suppliers, because it's the suppliers that will make the wedding a great day. And what I mean by the suppliers, your photographer, your videographer, your band, your DJ. And there's only a limited number of these great suppliers out there. So you do want to make sure they are available. And you can check all that information on the website at Weddings Online.
Yeah, just make sure that you get in touch with your suppliers, who I'd say are just absolutely really wanting to get back to work, and the same with the hotels as well.
They are, and to be fair, they have done Trojan work in terms of helping couples through it. Like, it really has been unprecedented, and I don't think they get the credit they deserve sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Jonathan, as well, you've seen, whether it's with hotels or, you know, suppliers or photographers or whatever, that they've also done a huge amount of work to make sure that the service they provide is as safe as it can be.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every business out there has jumped through every single hoop that's been put in front of them. But yes, I mean, the suppliers are safe. They'll go through the right protocols. So there's nothing to be concerned about from that point of view, no.
Well, thanks for some great tips and advice, Jonathan. And we're all looking forward to one day in the near future getting to enjoy weddings again. Thanks for joining us on the show. That's Jonathan Bryans from weddingsonline.ie. Their website has lots of tips. And if you are getting married, lots of different discussions and ideas on suppliers and venues and all the rest. Spirit. How is your skin looking? Have you been looking after it during this past year? And what about the summer ahead? How do you plan? Do you say the seasons are changing? I need to think about this with regards to my skin. Not just the sun, but also the wind and the hail, as we know from the last few days, is something that we need to think about. And we're going to get some tips from my next guest about just caring for our skin in the summer season. It's great to have Yolanda Johnson from Dr. Hauschka Skincare with us. Yolanda, is summer kind of a tough time of year on our skin?
Summer would be a tough time as much as winter. Winter's a tough time on our skin. Summer is, as you know, living in Ireland, we get all four seasons in one day. So yes, summertime would be one of the most important times to look after our skin.
Is that something just in terms of that we forget about in Ireland, that even though we mightn't have very hot days, we still have sunny days with UV rays and all that stuff, where we need to protect our skin and think about the effect that the sun has on our skin?
Oh, absolutely. UV rays are so important. We should be worrying about UV rays all through the year. Because even though we do have cloud cover, those rays still affect our skin. We definitely need to be looking after our skin in the summertime and in the wintertime and in the spring and in the autumn.
So, Yolanda, what should our routine be looking like at the start of the day?
So at the start of the day, what we do at Dr. Hauschka is we always cleanse our skin. There's always going to be a three-step cleanse routine with regards to our skin, not only to protect our skin, but to keep moisture and oil balance in the skin. Don't forget to remind the viewers, the skin is one of the biggest organs, and it absorbs everything, including the pollution, including the rays. So three steps: cleanse, tone, and moisturize. The fourth step, obviously, if your moisturizer doesn't have a sun factor in, always add your factor 50 into your routine as well.
Yeah, that's a really, really important reminder for everyone. What about at the end of the day? Is there anything different we should be doing?
At the end of the day, we do the exact same thing. So it's twice a day with cleanse, tone, and moisturize. At the end of the day, if you're wearing makeup, and even if you're not wearing makeup, we do advise to cleanse the skin. So not only are you removing your makeup with our cleansing milk, but you're also cleansing all the pollution off the skin, which is really important. Keeping those pores really good and clean. In the evening time, it's, as important to cleanse our skin, because our skin is rejuvenating while we sleep. And because our skin is not being affected by, it's not having to do anything like protect function, in the evening time, it's really important that our skin is clean so that it can rejuvenate overnight.
And what about just someone who's listening, Yolanda, going, oh, that's all really good advice, but I've really been neglecting my skin and they want to try and get things back on track? Is there kind of a way that we can supercharge our skincare routine?
Absolutely. We have some fantastic masks in the Dr. Hauschka skincare range where we can, you know, we have our rejuvenating mask, which is one of my favorites because we call this the first aid kit. So if you're looking to prepare the skin, you know, get the skin, you know, back to some sort of normality, or even if you're just looking to start looking after the skin really well, my advice would be cleanse the skin. You know, and put on our rejuvenating mask, leave it on for about 10-15 minutes, and then remove it. What this allows the mask to do is help heal any problems that are sitting on the surface of the skin, let alone under the first layer of the skin. So it is important that the customers know and our listeners know that Dr. Hauschka do a wide range of masks. My favorite would be the rejuvenating mask because it's a first aid kit and because it helps heal the skin for any problems that arises.
I know you're launching three new products, Yolanda. Briefly, just tell us about them.
So we have our Revitalizing Day Cream, which has always been a standard cream. This is not changing. We're only changing the size of the bottle and we're changing the name to lotion. So it's Revitalizing Day Lotion. The two new products that we're launching is called the Balancing Day Lotion and the Soothing Day Lotion. Now, lotion is light. Light as in it absorbs very fast into the skin and it also provides any protection that the skin is needed. Coming into the summertime, we don't want anything too heavy on our skin, especially if we add a heavy factor, sun factor on our skin. So our Soothing Day Lotion is for our problematic little, you know, red skin, a little bit of psoriasis, a little bit of eczema. The Soothing Day Lotion is absolutely perfect for it. It falls under the same line as our wonderful Rose Day Cream. And this is a lighter version for the summertime. It absorbs really quickly into the skin and helps heal the skin with the cocoa butter. The Balancing a Day Lotion is for our combination skin. So anybody that is using our Clarifying Day Oil or our Melissa Day Cream can move on to the Balancing Day Lotion for the summertime. So there again, it's going to heal the skin without leaving any scarring. It's also going to balance the sebaceous gland if you have oily condition somewhere on the skin. But it's also going to help hydrate the skin as well.
Lovely. This sounds fantastic, Yolanda. Thanks so much for your advice today. That's Yolanda Johnson from Dr. Hauschka Skincare. Spirit. I think animals all over the country have probably been delighted and happy during the pandemic because they've had their owners at home and enjoying having more time with their owners at home. But what happens as restrictions ease, and perhaps for some of you that have been at home and working at home a lot, that now you might be going back to your office a few days a week, that your animals will be back on their own again. Is there such a thing as separation anxiety for our pets, and how do we manage it? Well, our next guest is going to help us with that, and he's going to give us some advice and tips. It's great to have with us Pete the vet. First of all, Pete, what do we know about separation anxiety in animals? Is it actually something that's a thing, that there's kind of evidence to show that this happens?
100% there is, yeah. I mean, two aspects there. First thing is that whereas, I suppose, 30, 40 years ago, scientists used to think that animals are more or less automatons and just went about doing what was in front of their nose without having emotions or feelings, we now know that from more recent dynamic imaging studies that animals have activity, electrical activity, in exactly the same parts of the brain that humans do when we feel anxious or upset. So you have to presume they've got all the same neurochemicals, all the same activity in the brain. They must be feeling what we're feeling. And that means that we know that animals do feel anxiety in certain situations. And one of the real key situations, and actually the most common behavioural problem that behaviourists have to deal with, is separation anxiety, which is associated, which basically is excessive distress when they're separated from a major attachment figure, be that a child or an adult or whoever, or even another pet in the house. When they're separated, some animals get excessively distressed, and that's what separation anxiety is. And a lot of people are really worried that because dogs have got used to us being around all the time, when we all go back to work and leave the home, a lot of dogs may feel this, may suffer from this separation anxiety. And it's not just the dogs that suffer, humans suffer, because how separation anxiety is expressed is in signs like howling, barking, whining, often eliminating the house, so urinating and defecating, and often chewing and scratching and destroying the environment because they're so distressed. And that's really what people are worried about.
And so it's looking out for those kind of behavioural signs. Yes, I remember years ago a horse that I had, about 2 years after I got him, being at a horse show, and he jumped me out of the ring and was whinnying towards the horse box because there he found his old pal from the field 2 years later. And it was fascinating to me. What about, you've mentioned some of the signs to look out for, especially, you know, of distress and anxiety. So you're seeing that, you're in this situation, you're going, oh my goodness, this is terrible. Is there anything you can do to mitigate these things from happening or to lessen them or prepare the pets and ourselves as well, Pete?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is have to make sure you make the right diagnosis, because some dogs do these things for other reasons. Like just boredom can make dogs howl sometimes, which isn't necessarily the same as separation anxiety. But what you're meant to do is you're meant to put a little webcam on where your pet is when you're away. And there are very distinctive signs associated with your departure if it's separation anxiety. So you can make, you know, if it's not separation anxiety, a dog when it's go to sleep when you leave, then might wake up later on and be bored and start to howl. Whereas if it's separation anxiety, as soon as you're gone, they're all agitated. So that's how you make the diagnosis, confirm the diagnosis. How it's treated is quite complex. If your dog has a serious problem, it's quite complex. It can involve the use of pharmaceutical anti-anxiety medication. And, you know, just as in humans, well, essentially what the medication is used for, it's not used as a cure. It's used as part of a treatment regime, because when a dog suffers from separation anxiety, they get so hysterically upset that they refuse to calm down and kind of go up in a hot air balloon, kind of look down the world and say, actually, it's not so bad after all. They refuse to do that. But what you do is you give them medication so they do calm down, and then they can kind of look around themselves and say, yeah, well, actually, it's not so bad being by myself. So that the medication is an important part if the dog is suffering badly, and you have to get that through your vet. But as well as that, there's a number of specific things that you're meant to do to try to treat them, and that includes things like removing triggers. So, for example, normally when you go out, you might rattle your keys, you might put your coat on, you might say, good dog, mind the house. In actual fact, all those things can just wind a dog up to be more anxious because they know you're going. And the second thing is, when you come back, the automatic thing is the dog's delighted to see you, you're delighted to see them, and you're all over each other, and it's all great, even if the animal's very excited. But you're meant actually to ignore the animal when you get back, even though they come up to you all excited. You're meant to totally stonewall them as if they're not there. You wait until they've gone back to their bed and settled down, and only then you go, okay, hello, great to see you, good dog. And if you do that, then do those two things. You remove the triggers when you're leaving and the trigger for excitement when you get back. And if they don't get excited when you leave, when you get back, then they're much calmer in the middle bit as well.
Yeah, you're lessening the anxiety at those two key points. Pete, as always, thank you so much for great advice. That's Pete the Vet there. And you can check out Pete's website, petethevet.com, and also another website Pete is involved with, petfixclub.com. I'm sure there's lots of advice on there on this particular issue as well. Spirit. I don't know about you, but as soon as it was announced that restaurants were going to reopen and the different dates and everything, I was Googling, where's outdoor dining near me? Just dying to get back to a bit of normality and to supporting local restaurants again, because for restaurants across the country, it has been, like for so many of us, such a difficult year. And many now, they're preparing frantically to reopen for outdoor dining in June. And our next guest also has accommodation, so he will be opening up. If it's not already on your bucket list, this place, it should be. It's great to have with us on the line Chef Nevin Maguire, the owner of the award-winning McNean House and Restaurant in County Cavan. Nevin, first of all, it's been a heck of a year for you. How have you survived, kind of looking back on it now?
Good morning. Beautiful introduction. Thank you so much, Wendy. Do you know what? I'm a very positive person, because there's life at the end of the tunnel. It has been very difficult for each and every one of us. And I think our industry, you know, definitely, there's at least we can start to open up slowly, which I think is the best option and the best way. Just do it gradually. I mean, like when we got word last week that second of June, you know, because we have the bedrooms, so we're kind of classed as a small hotel, we have 20 bedrooms. So we said, God, are we still okay to open? But we absolutely are. So we'll just be doing residents only. So there's a bit of hope and light, and it's about the end of the tunnel. And as I said to you, I'm a very positive person. I think hopefully we'll have a good summer. Not sure about the weather now, Wendy, you know, eating outside.
I know. That's the thing, that obviously you're able to have the indoor dining because it's your residents can dine there. But I remember, Nevin, I think one of the last times we talked, it was probably just when you'd put a huge amount of time, effort and no doubt money into kind of reorganising your dining setting and around Christmas time, and you were only open for a few weeks and then you had to close again. But you do sound really positive. How have you maintained that positivity with the roller coaster of the year you've had?
Well, I'll tell you, I feel lucky, and I'll tell you why, because we have reservations in place. Like, we're not very big, so we'll be doing 40, 45 covers when we reopen the 2nd of June, that we have reservations in place, people are booked. Okay, we get lots of cancellations. We had to cancel over 3,000 bookings. I'm not exaggerating, so you could be very upset about that, but at least we'll have jobs to go back to, and we'll try and reschedule as many people that we had to postpone and change their dates. People are very understanding. This is kind of no one's fault. This has been unfortunate for all businesses, and it's just nice to see some normality coming back, nice and slowly, not too quick. There's nothing worse, as you said, is opening and then having to close. Like, we got open for a week before Christmas. My staff, like, we'd let 70 odd staff go, when we had to close again. So that can be soul destroying for them. So we're looking forward to getting them all back in work, back employed. And some staff are obviously going to move on. People's lives have changed a little bit. So, yeah, we're going to be taking on more staff too.
And there's kind of a ripple effect to restaurants having been closed for so long, Nevin. And one thing that you're always great at doing is just making sure to promote and support local suppliers. Are you going to be able to connect up with everybody that you're connecting up with before?
Yeah, I suppose we're very lucky that we've had a great relationship over the years. Like, one of our producers, Thornhill Duck, like, they've been supplying us for over 32 years in McNean House. So they've been going and kind of ticking along. It has been quiet for them too. So they're really looking forward to, you know, opening their kind of like business for more restaurants and hotels and places to eat. So I definitely think you're right. It's all about local, it's all about seasonal, and that's where my heart is. And, you know, we're lucky that we have a full-time gardener in McNean House, Kevin's his name, and he's started growing these lovely microgreens and salads. And so we're really, really looking forward to getting back into the kitchen to welcome our guests and doing what we do. Like, I've missed it, don't get me wrong. I've done my little videos and done lots of bits and pieces. I've actually just finished a kids' cookbook, which we're going to be launching in September. So hopefully,
go on now. What number book is that, Nevin?
Number 16.
Oh my goodness!
Perfect to you, Wendy. You're extending your family, and I think it'll be great for all kids. So I'll have to give you some to give away in your show when it's launched in September, please God. So we're really looking forward to that. So things have you know, that has kept me going, but I just can't wait to get reopened, because we've been open 32 years. You know, it was difficult last year and difficult this year, and just to see that we can reopen. And I kind of feel sad, because restaurants that can only do indoor dining, you know, that's been a real difficulty. And my heart goes out to restaurants, because I think we should all be opening up together. But at the end of the day, it's not my call. I have to think of my local staff.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand the frustration at one restaurant saying, well, what's the difference? Okay, I don't have a facility for outdoor dining, you know, but a hotel or whatever can have people in it, and it must be hard just seeing your friends down the road, you know, their restaurant open when you have to stay closed.
Yeah, and I mean, if please God, now they'll get open now, and you know, a couple of weeks after. I'd say they'll do it nicely, gradually. They'll do the outdoor dining, they'll do the hotels, and see how that goes. And once the numbers are kind of stable and not going up too much, then hopefully our friends and colleagues will get open, because you know we're meant to be in all this together, and I think that's really, really important. Outdoor dining is a funny thing, because you know the Irish weather, and it certainly wouldn't suit what we do, because we do a taste and menu paid courses. So we thought, will we do? But no, we said no. We're just going to do residence only, and just keep it nice and small and tight. And we're just kind of very excited. We're actually planning, because it does take about 3 to 4 weeks to reopen and get your staff back. And it's going to be a shock to the system from doing no work to doing.
I know, and that's one of the things, Nevin, you chatted about before when you were saying it was nice that you weren't having to travel up to Dublin so much, and you've had huge response to some of the videos that you've put up online. What good habits are you going to keep now that you learnt during lockdowns?
Right, oh, this will be recorded, is it? I know. I mean, like, definitely I've learned what I can do at home doing the videos, and family time is so important. And you know, because like, you know, we don't open during the day, we open for dinner, so I can still have the daytime, go in the evening, meet my guests, and you know, it's all about having a good team around you. Like, my head chef has been with me 16 years, my restaurant manager 17 years. And one woman, she works in the kitchen. She's been with us for over 40 years in McNean House. Pardon me, she's been fantastic. So it's all about a good team. And I definitely intend, you know, I love going up to Dublin, don't get me wrong, but I don't need to be going up twice a week. So I can manage it, my kind of work balance a little bit better, I think. So that's one thing that I've definitely learned.
Yeah, but you mentioned you're going to be looking for people as well, and that, you know, the heartache of having to let staff go. So there might be someone listening at the moment that might be just what you need. What are you looking for at McNean House at the moment?
Okay, so what we're looking for is front of house. And like, if anyone was interested in that and had some experience, you know, actually a lot of the chefs, which is fantastic, we've 14 chefs, they're all coming back. And, you know, we put out the feelers about maybe 3 weeks ago just to say, listen, we're planning to, we don't have a date. And then we got the date last week. So we do have positions. So if anyone just wants to send their CV just to careers at McNean House, we would welcome them with open arms and hopefully chat to them and see. Because Blackline is a small little rural village. You've been there, Wendy. We've welcomed you. And it's not for everyone, but it's a lovely, peaceful part of the world. And it's not, you know, it is a lovely, unspoiled part of Ireland. That's what I would say. And I think people come there and they love it and they enjoy it. And there's lots to do in the area. So I think it's a really... my home, it's where I love, it's where I love having my business, and the fact that people travel from all over the country, we're super proud of that.
Nevin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
and wishing you all the best as you prepare for reopening.
You're up ahead. Thanks a million, and we'll chat soon, Wendy. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That is Chef Nevin Maguire there, and you can go to their website, nevinmaguire.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.